Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Morning, Bill. You mentioned being happy to see some new faces. Is Stephon Gilmore one of those faces today?
Yeah, like I said, we're kind of scrambling to get things going this morning. So I didn't really get a chance to see everybody myself. So we'll see where we're at.
Just how important is he to your back end and what he brings to the team?
All the players are important and, you know, like to have all of them.
Thanks, Bill.
I love it when it happens to somebody else.
That's our buddy Mike Giardi on the Harbor One Hotline from the NFL Network.
Really appreciate the question, Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Great job. Bless your heart, Mike.
Bless you. I really appreciate
bless your
the
heart.
Question.
Do you ever go by Michael? Does anybody ever call you Michael? Like, your parents call you Michael when you were a kid?
My mother, when she got mad at me, I used to be Michael. Yeah.
One of those. That's what's going to be next with Bill. Now, listen, Michael. Now, I know you're new at this, right? That's what's coming next.
So have you figured out when you specifically, and you did the right thing, you specifically talked about a player who was absent from minicamp. And yet what Bill always answers that question with is about everybody in camp, not that one player. So have you ever figured out a way to project the question to get him to specifically talk about that player and not say, Michael, all of our players are important or whatever? Have you figured that out yet?
Yeah, it's pretty much impossible with Bill. I think, you know, he has the counter to every counter that you come up with. So as usual, I think the best approach is the direct approach, and you know, whatever he's going to do with it, he's going to do with it. But, you know, I wasn't prepared for much there, so you know, he didn't let me down, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I feel like you and Curran have kind of like a nice little like tag team, like, you know, philosophy going on. You too, you know, as far as like, you know, okay, listen, I'm going to hit him with this. I'm going to body blow him, and then you hit him right in his jaw. We'll see what happens.
You try to add some humor.
Yeah.
And you come after.
I'll get him really pissed, and then you breathe. You be the savior. Did you guys ever discuss like how this is going to go, or do you even know the order?
No. We've absolutely
game plan.
You know, obviously when we work together, we definitely did it, and then even now, like, there'll be text sometimes before the questioning starts, you know, like, all right, well, what's the, or, you know, like half an hour beforehand, hey, if I ask it him this, you think, what's the best way I can get an answer from him? You know, like, there's definitely some advanced scouting that goes into it and some game planning.
So, Mike, let me ask you then about the guy that you asked about, okay, and Steph Gilmore, because does this seem like a pretty simple solution? I mean, it seems like I think they realized that Gilmore maybe is just not going to play for 7.5, but I would just expect them to work this out, right? Is it a one-year deal? Is it a two-year deal? How do you think this thing plays out?
I mean, I think that Steph wants a multi-year deal. I don't think that that's what they want to do. So I think, you know, the logical meeting between this is, hey, we're going to bump you up. Let's call it $7, $8 billion more to get you at a number for, you know, a real cornerback, an elite cornerback in this league for one season, you know, and probably, you know, maybe there has to be some language. We're not going to franchise you next year or something to that effect so that he can get out on the market. But I think anything short of that, I don't, you know, I think he's studied. He knows the story of Richard Seymour and Logan Mankins and Deion Branch. And he knows the story of guys who, you know, he watched Brady do it for all those years, right? Just take less, take less, take less. And, you know, what did the organization ever pay you back for that? No. You know, so you have to be for this team, with that coach, the way that organization is run, if you want your money, you have to be willing to fight for it. And I think he's already, you know, he's dug in.
So we got a kick out of the 3 days, Mike, down there, and the difference in reporting day to day to day with the quarterback. And so on Tuesday, it was, there's no question, this is the day that Mac Jones became a member of the New England Patriots, and he might be the starting quarterback. By Wednesday, it was, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. Cam looked really good today, maybe his best practice ever, and Cam's back into it. Are we going to go through this all summer long when they get into camp?
Well, I would say in part it's because we're not really used to this, right? I mean, even last year, the so-called competition ended pretty quickly when Stidham, you know, did whatever he did to his hip and was pretty much inactive for 3 days, and it was over. You know, Cam's the guy, and you can make the argument really the moment they signed Cam was the guy, right? This is new to us. We haven't really seen in 20 years, you know, a first-round quarterback battling it out with a guy, the incumbent, who obviously wasn't very good last year. And I think guys are going to ride the wave. To me, I'm trying to tamp it a little bit because, first of all, with Mac, there's going to be ups and downs, and there were ups and downs. Even on the good days, he had moments where you're like, eesh, you know, that's that looks like something that Stidham did 2 years ago, or Brissett did, or Jimmy Garoppolo did. You're like, you know, Ryan Mallett, whatever. You go down the line, you're like, ooh, God, that was awful, right? And then there are moments that you can see, like, hey, I get why he ended up as a first-round pick, and I get why there are people in that building that are excited about him, because he does some of the things that Josh McDaniels' offense had done for 20 years, you know, controlling in between the numbers, you know, in between the hashes, like that short stuff, that intermediate stuff. The ball is where it needs to be a lot, and it's out there quickly, and it's giving guys a chance to run, so you're going to see that. And all that said, I think it's still Cam's job to lose. Like, I think if Cam did what he did on Monday and Tuesday, if that carries over into training camp for 2 weeks, then I think we have a real, you know, question as to who is the starter. But if Cam shows some improvement, I think Cam's going to be the guy who gets the first snaps in September.
So we're talking to Mike Diardi. Mike, so who else stood out? Like, I mean, and I know, like, under, you know, obviously we're talking about a three-day, training camp. So it's nothing crazy, but who else, in your opinion, stood out?
Well, I mean, I always say this with, you know, they were in shorts and T-shirts.
Yeah.
So it's not real football. You know that,
yeah.
Christian. I mean, that's there's things that you watch, you know, like the defense, and I know there's some people that are excited about the front seven. And I am, too, in terms of what you see on the field. Oh, boy, if they have, you know, alignments where they have Uche, Hightower, Van Noy, Judon, like maybe even if Winovich is in that group, like there's some different things you can do. We're going to see some of that, you know, that amoeba defense, and like that gets you kind of excited. That said, you know, what is an offensive lineman supposed to do in this portion of camp, mandatory mini camp? You're not really smacking a guy in the mouth. You can't do it. You're not allowed. So, I kind of tampered that, but I would say that I looked at Hightower's return. And he looks good to me. Like, he just moved flow, you know, like, and obviously I know he's had some injury problems over the years, and we'll see how his body holds up when they start to really grind, but he looks like he's moving well. He looks like he's a little bit lighter. Nothing significant, but maybe just a little bit. And I like the way Uche looks. I think he's just sort of an athlete that they haven't had coming off the edge in a long time. You know, he's got that bend, if you will. And again, will it translate when they put pads on? You know, we saw a little bit of it last year, but not enough to go make declarations.
Yeah, you mentioned Winovich. You mentioned Winovich in the beginning. I've heard different, you know, rumblings about him. Like, you know, he missed the first day, right? And he was part of that, one of those three guys that missed, but he wasn't a real focus on him. And is he at risk of, like, getting cut?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, right? So didn't see him for mandatory minicamp. Don't know what's up. If he had something physical, that, you know, obviously they keep that stuff under wraps. When we saw him last, he wasn't with the main group. You know, he was sort of with the second group, including some guys that, you know, are roster borderline guys. So I don't know. I mean, look, he had a weird year last year, right? I mean, there were times where he barely played, and you're like, well, you're not very good. And when he's been out there, he's been one of your better, if not your best, edge guy. So, like, what are we doing? You know, he definitely marches to the beat of his own drum a little bit. And I don't know if they're trying to get his attention or what, but that's certainly something we'll be looking for in a month, you know, see where he's at and what he's doing.
You know, Mike, we spent so much time talking quarterbacks throughout this whole thing and trying to evaluate it, but I still feel like they're wide receivers. That room is one of the worst rooms in the league. So I'm asking you, is Jakobi Meyers still your best wide receiver?
He is.
And that's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, and that's that is absolutely no knock on Jakobi. I like Jakobi as a player. I liked him when he came out. I kind of identified him early because you could just tell, like, he's just one of those guys who knows, he just sort of knows how to play. And I know he made some mental mistakes that bothered Brady and kind of led him to be buried. And maybe that sort of even continued into last year with Brady not being here. But then when they finally got him out in the field, you're like, yeah, see, the things that we saw that you liked about him, the ability to get open, even though he's not the fastest guy or the biggest guy or even the quickest guy, that was still there. So that's great for him, but you spent money on Aguilar, and the things that you know about Aguilar, the inconsistent hands, they've been on full display.
Oh, no.
Come on. Mandatory minicamp.
Stop it. I didn't hear about the drops. Are you kidding
me? There's too much quarterback talk. You didn't hear about the wide receivers. And Bourne, another one. What did he look like?
Jared Stidham threw, actually, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what I thought the single best throw in each day was came from Stidham, and two of those were to Aguilar, and both times Aguilar dropped.
Wait, easy drops or like, okay, tough angle type? He should have caught?
No, I mean, you know, look, he's running a go route. I mean, that's what he does, right?
Oh, God.
This is great.
The ball is dropped into the bucket, and he doesn't catch it. So
a hole in the bucket.
Exactly. It sprung a leak. And then Kendrick Bourne, you know, I know what the PFF numbers say, and that's why I don't, like, live by PFF. Because, as you well know, I have had a rooting interest, a fascination of what happened in San Francisco with the quarterback, and I watched every single one of those games. And Kendrick Bourne dropped a lot of big passes for Garoppolo in San Francisco over the last few years.
Oh, great. And, you know, it's funny.
And guess what happened here during this period here, again, in the OTAs and minicamp?
Let me guess.
Dropped them.
Yeah,
so it's not ideal.
I talked to a guy with the San Francisco 49ers, and the main thing that he said when we signed him was how he's like, I'll read it to you. He said he can run all day very fast, but has great short area bursts, runs crisp routes, and has maybe the best hands on the team. He also said, and this is one of his coaches, said it'll be interesting to see if he can thrive in that strict system. And this is the worst part, Mike. He learns by doing, so he'll make a decent amount of mistakes in practice.
Oh boy!
There you go. He's a gamer. He's just not going to practice.
He's
Garoppolo.
He's Garoppolo. Should be happy. Hey,
how's Christian? Just as an aside, how's Walker doing? Is he good?
Are you kidding me?
Just very good.
Hold on. Just because we have the same hair doctor doesn't mean I would share information.
You guys always do that to us, right? Oh, Giardi's talking to so and so. Kern's got this guy. Yep. And, you know, like you're trying to play the game. I'm playing the game now.
Mike, for the record, full transparency and honesty. I will tell you this much, and then you can process of elimination. I've never talked to Wes Walker about any player on that staff. Bam, all up in your face, Paisano. Is that the way you say it? Do I say it right?
Do I believe you?
No, you can believe me.
We don't believe a word he said.
I've never talked to him. To a show. Not one.
I find that interesting. All these wide receivers, tight ends, and anything about wide receivers.
I know.
Like Aguilar, nothing.
That is disappointing to me because that was the reputation for him, Mike, right? Just dropping the ball, even when he was in Philly. And he kind of left when he was in for the Raiders.
So he was good with the Raiders, but if he starts early drops, are we back in Philly mode again, where people are making fun of him on the streets?
Well, I don't know if there can be any babies that are caught by passersby and they'll reference Aguilar. But look, they aggressively targeted him, right? I mean, that was a quick signing for Aguilar, just like it was with Jonnu Smith. And then when you saw the worst of the way the wide receiver market went and where some of the players went and some of the money that they got paid, you're like, wait, is he really better than those guys? And I think he's going to be under the microscope if he gets off to a slow start. I mean, again, I'm not going to go crazy. It's still, you know.
Luke calls it the worst.
Early June. But I would like to see a lot more from that entire group. You know, we didn't even mention Nikhil.
Yeah, Luke? I was going to say,
please don't mention him now.
No, I'm curious. What did you think?
So,
oh my God! Another shorts and t-shirts analysis of frickin' Nikhil.
Whatever.
No, he's man. I was watching like just the the wide receiver drills, the footwork drills.
Uh-oh.
And I know he's a different size than basically everybody else in that group, but his feet, they're the same feet that he came out with. Like, he's done all this work, and there's no burst out of the cone. So I think if he's going to make the roster, he's going to have to make it as that physical guy that just wins one-on-one battles. And, you know,
make him a
we
tight
saw
end.
A little bit of that as a rookie, but we didn't see really any of that last year. So
Lou calls that the worst.
I think he's firmly on the bubble.
Ooh. Winovich and Carey. Do you think it's the worst receiving core in the NFL that Lou calls it the worst receiving core in the
NFL?
I
said maybe 30th.
Yeah, it's got to be down the bottom unless somebody emerges, you know, unless Aguilar takes the next step or Bourne. I think they're short there. Definitely think they're short there. And you can talk about running it through the tight ends. That's great. But those guys got to stay on the field, you know, and that's, especially with Hunter Henry, that's not something that he is consistently done over the course of his career.
So I guess that foot doctor or foot king or whatever the
foot
hell
specialist.
It calls him, specialist or whatever.
it didn't work.
I want to ask you league-wide a question here because you know what the league went through last year with the protocol and COVID and everything else, and I thought we were back to normal, and then we get the new protocol coming out from the league, mm-hmm. and there are two sets of rules, and if you're vaccinated, you can do whatever you want, and if you're not, you're in a solitary confinement for the entire season, pretty much.
Yeah.
You can't do anything, and Cole Beasley has come out. He is bitching about the Players Association. He's now threatening to retire, and there are a lot of players that simply are afraid, I think, to go and get vaccinated. So are we going to have two separate groups on each one of these teams where this is the bus and this is what you can do with if you're the vaccinated, and over here these are the non-vaccinated?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm a team, I'm hopeful that in the next six weeks, that we can continue to kind of convince these guys that it's the right thing to do. And I think you've seen, you know, reports like Breer had – you know, Miami, I think the Saints, I think Denver is headed for over 85%. I think there could be a real, you know, sort of competitive advantage to that, to being able to gather and having those situations and from a camaraderie standpoint. Mm-hmm. But like, look, I mean, Washington brings in a vaccination specialist, right? And talks to the team. And then you get the quotes from Montez Sweat being like, yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, I'm going my way. And basically, yeah. I'm not going to get the vaccine until I get sick. Well, dude, first of all, that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works. That's not going to fix it for you.
But don't you question the guy that did the presentation? Like, the guy that did the presentation for him, like, apparently didn't hit home?
Were you asleep when that happened? I don't know. So, look, you're right. I think there are guys that are afraid of it for whatever reason, a variety of reasons. And I don't know that there's any moving them off the spot, except when they see, maybe when you gather finally in training camp and you see 85% of your teammates living the good life, eating in the cafeteria, hanging out, you know, going out, not, you know, no threats of fines or trouble. And then you're sitting there going, man, I really want to go out on Tuesday night. But so, if I go out and someone sees me,
they got vaccimillions now.
So, Mike, how can any coach in that league now not be vaccinated? Because if you're not vaccinated and you're a coach, you need to deal with everybody. How the hell do you do it?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And, I mean, we saw – and, again, I can't give you the reasons why, but there were a couple Patriots assistants that had masks on. Now, does that mean they're only halfway vaccinated and they still have to have the mask? Does that mean there's a medical issue and they can't be vaccinated? I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, it certainly raises a whole bunch of questions that I think we're all hoping that we weren't going to have to deal with coming into the season. Like I said, I'm really hopeful in the next 6 weeks there's a bit more groundswell or guys sort of get that, just the pressure from teammates or whatever. Like, dude, I'm fine. I got my vaccine. I feel good. Like, you might feel bad for a day, but, like, let's just do this if we're trying to do this, you know?
Okay, so here we are in June. I want you to call it right now.
Wow.
Cam or Mac? No discussion why. Just Cam
talking,
or Mac.
You're game opening
game
day.
Opening day. Who's the starter?
I've got Cam. I still got Cam as the opening
okay.
day starter.
All right.
I do.
Oh, coward.
Now, will Cam
no,
be
you know on a day
I
where
I think that's smart thinking right now. I think Mac's still got some work to do to make this thing a real competition.
You know, on a day when the Celtics get Al Horford back, you got to just try to just bring me down. You got to try to bring me down, Mike. You know?
Well, look, as a fellow Paisan, just look at it this way.
Yeah.
Four extra weeks to the start of the season where he washes. and he continues to get tutelage from Hoyer and spends extra time in the playbook. And then Tampa comes in, smacks him around. Cam's ineffective. And then Mac Jones starts week five, where they have a stretch against pass defenses from week five to week 12 that last year were all in the bottom third of the league. The perfect time to make the switch. Go time. Like, hey, it's good. It's good. Let Cam take the lumps in the first month. You come out of that 2-2. Mac becomes the guy. Mac feeds on bad defenses. And you got your quarterback.
Yeah, but what about the energy? Who's going to provide the energy?
Who's going to dance?
Who's going to dance and make everybody feel good about themselves? And what about the nicknames, Mike? Those go away.
Hey, the nicknames thing is a Mike Reese production. Talk to Reese.
Oh, Reese loves
I'm
those
not
nicknames.
Down with the nicknames. Oh, my God. Fine, well, and good.
All right.
You're the best of the two,
Mac and cheese. God.
How much do you like mac and cheese?
Oh, God. Please, ridiculous.
I love this.
Mike, it's always great.
Doing all right.
It's always great talking to you, Mike.
Hi,
thanks,
Mike.
Thanks, we appreciate guys. It. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Mike Giardi right there on the Harbor One Hotline. This hour brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. So do the Celtics have a new coach lined up yet, or are we going to wait around for a while? Well, we'll give you some hints next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.